We may now turn to the chapter of God's Word, which we read in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, we shall read at verse 16 to the end of verse 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now we find in these words the answer that these three individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, gave to King Nebuchadnezzar. And what an answer it was, an answer, dear friends, that gave abundant proof and witness to the reality of faith in their souls, the reality of the grace of faith in the souls of these men. And it is, you see, occasionally and at times, trials that brings out the clearness of the view that we ourselves can have, that there is that love to God, that there is that sincerity in the truth, that there is that true-hearted faith in living exercise within our soul. Well, so it was here on this particular occasion. It was a fiery trial. It was a very difficult and desperate situation that was thrust upon them. But we see here for our encouragement that God undertook for them. Ultimately, we see from the chapter that God delivered them in a most wonderful manner. That God suffered not the fire to have any power upon these men. Although, as we see from the chapter, the fire had very great power upon the most mighty men in the army of the king Nebuchadnezzar, so that we are in no doubt that this fire was exceeding hot. We have no doubt that this fire had the power to consume and to destroy, because it did that. But with regard to these men, it had no power. In the providence of God, whose kingdom ruleth over all, the God who is able to deliver his servants, well, how wonderful, how precious, you see, these things are to God's people. Because, friends, what we need to reflect upon is the truth of God's word. What we need to reflect upon is that this passage of scripture that I've read and you're hearing this morning is the very truth of heaven. This incident happened. We're not to treat this as some kind of fable. We're not to treat this account here that is so soberly given in the Word of God as though it were a made-up story. And I hope we appreciate that. You see, of course, there are many who dismiss these things as they dismiss other things in God's Word as fabulous, things that are not really true things that happened under the heavens. Well, let us not fall into that temptation. Let us not go after that way. Let us hold fast to the truth and testimony of the inspired and inerrant Word of God. This happened. These men were real men. They were real men with fears, like ourselves. They were those who, naturally speaking, feared the flames as much as any of us do. And yet we see here how the Lord strengthened his servants, how he gave to them that clearness of vision in terms of faith, and that tremendous courage in terms of faith too. Wonderful works of God. Here is no human strength. Here is no ability that is natural to man. But here is what God can do for his people. Here is how the Lord can strengthen his people. Here is how the Lord in particular can strengthen the grace of faith in the souls of his own people. Most wonderful. Let us be assured of this truth. The Lord who gives faith is able to maintain faith in the soul, even in the most fiery trials. And of course, you see, that's the conclusion that hopefully we will come to in due course, that this is the faith that God's people should seek. This is the faith that they should pray for. This is the faith that they should cry for, as did the disciples when they said, "Lord, increase our faith." We see that this grace is most necessary as we live in this world. We see that its strength being put forth is at times most needful indeed, as we live in the midst of trial and temptation. Well then, our subject here this morning, the Lord helping us, is a clear and courageous faith. And that, we believe, was the nature of the faith that these three men had, each one of them. We are not to compare one against the other, they are all put here together. No doubt they had their own dispositions, their own characteristics, as we all do. But what was common to them all was faith. Faith in God. And what was clear was that they were faithful when faithfulness was called for. And they were absolutely courageous in that faith, each one of them. So, what wonderful teaching. God is able to strengthen faith most marvelously in the soul. A clear and courageous faith. We will notice three points as we look at this text. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. In the first place, we must consider the trial of their faith. We see that there in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." And again, verse 17, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." And so on. The trial of their faith. Then secondly, we must note the clearness of their faith. The clearness of their faith. Verse 16 again, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." And again, there in verse 17, "He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, their God, in whom they trusted, our God whom we serve." Very clear about this matter. Our God whom we don't just acknowledge, as some people do, in a kind of a cursory way, every now and again, but whom we serve day by day, whom we have a relationship to day by day, he is able to deliver us. What a clear view they had of God. What a clear view they had of faith in the Most High, our God whom we serve. Then thirdly, we will note the courage of their faith. Verse 18, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And it is their sin. Even although God, if God should not deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, we will suffer this form of death which is so terrible. We will subject ourselves to this in faithfulness to God. What courage. What tremendous courage there was in their faith by the grace of God. "We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now we see that their faith was tried. And, well, we know from the trial itself the reality of the faith that was there to be tried. It showed its worth. It showed what nature it was of by the fact that it stood the test. You see, gold shows its true nature when it is put into the furnace, and when all the metal that is there, perhaps mixed in, and the dirt and all the rest of it, is burnt off, then the gold remains. The heat itself shows forth the reality of the gold that is in the pot. And so it was in this case. We know that they had faith by the way in which it was exercised in time of trial. And of course that is something that is still true with regard to the Lord's people. No doubt this is one reason why the Lord suffers at times his people to be tried. And indeed some of them to be tried very sore. That the witness of their faith may be seen. One thinks of Stephen, stoned to death there. The Jews, the people who were throwing the stones at Stephen there in Acts chapter 7, laid their clothes at the feet of one man, a young man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, and they stoned him to death. And there he was, calling upon the Lord. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lay not this sin to their charge. Wonderful faith. What a wonderful witness, too, to the reality of that faith in his soul. As his spirit was returning to God who gave it, as his soul was departing to be with Christ, which is far better, so he was bearing witness to his Savior, Jesus Christ, in the most wonderful way. So that the Lord sends trials for various reasons. And, of course, at times, trials are sent for our personal spiritual growth. And these things are hard to bear, difficult at times to pass through. And yet, afterwards, when we think back, then we see some evidence of faith and living exercise in the soul. That may be to our own spiritual comfort. Well, how marvelous it was the exercise of faith on this occasion. Faith in God. Faithfulness to God. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. This matter, what a terrible matter. Fearful matter indeed. We read in the first verse that Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 3, verse 1, the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Ura, in the province of Babylon. It was a massive structure. Some estimate that it was 15 times the height of a man. It was a fearful thing. And of course we see the folly of it, because no sooner has he set this up, whatever was the initial idea in his mind, but that it is made an object of fear and reverence and worship. You see the folly of making graven images. How soon men fall into idolatry. How soon it is made an object of superstition and devotion, this great edifice. Well then, we see, yes, in this chapter, the faith of God's people, but we also see the folly of wicked men in this portion of God's word. Folly, madness, madness of Nebuchadnezzar, the folly of those who would accuse God's people, the folly of wicked men, the way in which they endanger themselves and others spiritually. Well, that is another teaching, and no doubt would serve for another sermon. Perhaps. Let's concentrate on this. The trial. Trial was there in connection with this very image of gold. Raised up by this great tyrant, by this great king, whose word, as we say, was law. He wanted to raise up an image, then, so far as he was concerned, he could do that. He had the wealth, He had the power, he had the prestige to give this decree, be set up, and moreover, as though that were not bad enough, let it be worshipped. How fearful. Let it be bowed down to. Let it be given that worship which is due to the Lord God alone. You see, the Saviour himself made that very clear when he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is to be worshipped, and he is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Not to be worshipped with symbols, superstition, all that kind of thing. We see then the folly of Nebuchadnezzar, rearing up this image and demanding that people bow down to it. We see it. What to madness this was. And how dishonoring to God. And how this command of this earthly king stood in defiance to command of the King of Heaven. Made it very plain, and who still makes it very, very plain in his inspired word. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor worship them. And you see, these three men were very well aware of that commandment. Very clear and very aware of that commandment. So that this was a fearful trial to their spirit. A fearful trial. Now, one point I want to make with regard to this trial is that it was so unexpected, wasn't it? When we consider the context of the chapter that went before it, we would say that all the trouble that Nebuchadnezzar had about the dream, about the image, would surely restrain him from doing such a thing as this. The fact that he had already acknowledged of a truth to Daniel, that your God, verse 47 of chapter 2, is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. We would think it would put a restraint upon his spirit. But not so. Not so. There we read, you see, at the end of the chapter that says chapter 2 before this one, that Daniel had requested, and the king had granted, that these three men be raised up to positions of power and influence within the kingdom of Babylon. You see how they might have felt. All is well. Here we are, being raised up, being promoted, being advanced in the esteem of the king himself. All is well. And then what do we read in the next verse? Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold. Now, friends, there's teaching in that for you and for me. You see, when we come to years into the workplace, we have dealings with people, we occupy positions of perhaps some of us, authority and influence. And we may be promoted in the esteem of those that employ us. We may be given new responsibilities. We may think all is well. And then suddenly, the most terrible temptation may come our way to try our faith. Will we be faithful? We are now in a position whereby many eyes are upon us, perhaps. We are now advanced and esteemed by our employer. And then he commands us to do this, and we know that's not a right thing to do. Are we going to stand up and say no? Are we going to cross his will? Are we going to say, well, I can't do that? You see, these are practical realities for believers in this life. whereby our faith may be tried and tested. Just as the faith of these men was tried and tested most fearfully. We see another aspect, of course, with regard to these individuals. They had to deal with a person who was, let's say, difficult to deal with. His word was law. He was a tyrannical ruler. He could put people to death at a whim. We see that there in chapter 1. We have evidence of that, not just from God's people themselves, Daniel and these three, but even from verse 10 of chapter 1. You remember in that particular chapter that the prince of the eunuchs, he was afraid. He did not want to comply initially with Daniel's request that they would not eat of the bread, they would not eat of the wine that was given them. Perhaps it was something that was offered in idols, very likely. There's some case of conscience there whereby they did not wish to partake of these things. And he said, you make me endanger my head to the king. See, he knew what his king was like. And we see from further looking there in chapter 2 how it was so, giving a command that all the wise men be slain, just like that. What a fearful person to be under. What a difficult, difficult man to have to deal with. And that's the situation these people were in. They had to deal with this man. And he was difficult. And he was not a person who was naturally sympathetic to their conscientious objections to certain things. He was an idolater. He was a false worshiper. And he would have them to do likewise. Well, what a difficult and trying matter this was. And you see then practically how this may also be the case with the believer. The workplace, for example, it may be someone who is your line manager, or a colleague at work is a person who is forceful, who knows what they want, not just for themselves but for you. Perhaps at times you see, maybe that times that what they want for you and for themselves is very good. And they may have tremendous attributes and qualities in that very forcefulness, but you see, if that is misused, what a trial that may be for your spirit. And that's the reality of living in this world. Times we have to deal with people who are difficult, who are unpredictable, who we don't know what's going to happen next. And that is a trial. That is a difficulty. And you see, that's the difficulty, the very difficulty that these people had. Of course, a very extreme example of that. They were dealing with a difficult man. Sometimes we have to deal with difficult people. People who don't have principles grounded in the Word of God. Those who do not have the fear of the Lord before their eyes. And that may be a means, you see, whereby our faith is deeply tried and tempted and tested. Well then, let us learn, you see, from this passage of the Word of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Well, friends, how instructive, you see, God's word is with regard to the nature of temptation. And with regard to the trials that we ourselves may face in this world. We've mentioned difficult people that we sometimes have to deal with, forceful characters who are so forceful that they can often bend the will of this man and that man there. How we have to deal with that. What else? Well, we see here what a terrible temptation this was, because how many other people fell before it? all nations, kingdoms, backgrounds, people who naturally worshipped other gods, feared them, thought their God was the best God, fell down before this temptation, just like that. These three are left alone. How lonely a position. And you see, that is true with regard to the believer. In the workplace, in the community, they may feel at times very alone. Very alone. When the colleagues at work fall in with this innovation or that, which is really not appropriate at all, they have to object. When pressure is brought to bear to work unnecessary duties on the Sabbath day, then they have to say, that is something that I simply cannot do. That is inappropriate. And all others are falling in. That is a trial. That is a difficult thing to be. That was the thing that these people had to bear. Friend, hear the fellowship that you have with God's people down through the ages. How very precious it is. Here they had to bear these things. Consider also, dear friends, the fact that they were tempted, well, with music and with the fire. You see, there were these two things brought to bear. How many people, when the music is going, simply fall in with this or that because of the influence of music? And we see it, of course, in the religious world, with regard to Billy Graham and other so-called evangelists. This is one way whereby they've been very successful influencing the minds of those before them. Music is playing. Oh, who would not want to be with Jesus? Who would not want simply to raise their hand and there all is well? Music is such an influence. How dangerous. How dangerous these things may be spiritually in various ways. How easy to fall in with a thing when everyone else is doing it. And music is playing. Oh, let's all just go along together. Although the thing be not right in the sight of God. And again, as though that were not bad enough, whosoever would not fall down, they must go into the fire. What an option. What a terrible temptation. On the one hand, the soft influence of the music, everybody else falling down. Then on the other hand, you're on your own here, you're going into the flames. Terrible trial this was. It was a fearful and a fiery temptation. Trial of their faith. As Matthew Henry notes with regard to these things, here were the charms of music to allure them into a compliance, and the terrors of the fiery furnace to frighten them into a compliance. Ah, that's it. See how Satan can work. How he can tempt the believer, try the believer. Oh, if you do this, your pay will go up. You will be advanced at work, above your peers. But if you don't do this, well, I'm afraid you'll be shown the door. Or you'll be demoted. Or you'll be sent into this position that is difficult. Don't really want to go to, well, that will be the place that you're sent to. Trials, temptations, difficulties. Friends, these are realities in the life of the godly in this world. Temptations brought to bear in one way or another. Matthew Henry goes on to note in his commentary, there is nothing so bad which the careless world will not be drawn to by a concert of music, or driven to by a fiery furnace, and by such methods as these, false worship has been set up and maintained. Trial of their faith. But of course, the main matter was not so much their own welfare or interest, but the aim of the temptation was that the Son of God, the Son of God, they should fall in with it. While they were known as people who worshipped to the God of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what a dishonor. And that brings us then, of course, to our second point with regard to the clearness of their faith. Clearness of their faith. You see, this is something that God's people need to be mindful of in this world. They are epistles seen and read of all men. They bear witness for Jesus Christ. They bear witness to the living and true God. But if they are to fall before the idol, they are to worship the false God, what a dishonor. Dishonor to God. And you see, here was a means whereby they were kept, the clearness of their faith. They were clear in their own minds with regard to the Most High God. His power, His majesty, as they say here, He is able to deliver us. You say, what is Nebuchadnezzar saying, verse 15? And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And they say, well, we have very clear views on this, Nebuchadnezzar. Our God is most assuredly able to deliver us out of your hands. Clear views of God. What a means whereby they were kept. Of course, we see that elsewhere in God's word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. In other words, clearness of understanding. How important it is then, dear friends, that we be well grounded in the truth. Well grounded in the truth of Scripture. God is the Lord. Worthy art thou to be feared, O God. God is the one who is indeed to be feared as none other. And that is how it was with these people. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. They had clear views of God. His power, His majesty, His glory, His holiness, His justice. So must we. So must we, dear friends, you see. And we must have these things not just in times of trial, but at all times. Because we don't know when trials may come. But if we have this as a foundation in our souls, then this is a great means of deliverance. If we are those who are having family worship, if we are those who are having private devotions, praying to God, acknowledging God day by day, then, with the Lord's blessing, we may be kept. It's not enough to have clear views of God on the Sabbath and have wrong views of God throughout the week. There must be that consistency. That is how it was for these people. The clearness of the vision that they had of God was not some new thing. And we see that, of course, in chapter 1, because they refused, along with Daniel, to eat the meat. It was a case of conscience already, in a lesser thing. They were faithful then, they were faithful now. They were faithful then, because they had clear views of God then, in chapter 1, and they were faithful here, because by God's grace these faithful, these clear views were maintained in their souls. The clear vision of faith. Friends, when we see that living exercise with regard to these godly men, oh, let us turn from this truth and say, Lord, give me that clearness of vision in my soul with regard to thyself. Give me clear views of thyself, biblical views, scriptural views, spirit-wrought views, and taught views, thy majesty, of thy glory, of thy mercy, all thy divine attributes. See, clearness of faith. And that comes out here in verse 16. At first sight, this seems a strange thing to say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, that seems to suggest that they didn't care. We're not careful. We're not caring about this. But what is meant here, we believe, is we don't need to deliberate. We don't need to go into a corner and deliberate about this for a few hours, because the matter is settled. It was settled in chapter 1. It's settled now. The matter is settled. We are to serve God, and we will serve God. That's, we believe, what is meant here. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't need to deliberate about this. We're not halting between two opinions. Though the fiery furnace is most evidently being set before us as a consequence of our crossing the will of this man, we don't need to have a great deliberation, because the matter is settled. And there's clearness, you see. Clearness of faith. They're not surprised. Don't need to consult. There's a clearness in their faith. What a blessing, what a benefit that would be for us to have. Friends, at times, of course, we may be confused. We may not exactly be clear as to what our duty and where our duty lies. But in certain matters, as this was the case, their duty was clear. Straightforward. And what a benefit that was. And one reason, of course, principal reason, was they had clear views of God, His holiness, His being God upon the throne of heaven. Moreover, they had clear views of their own responsibilities. Our God, they say, whom we serve. Whom we serve. In other words, the one that we bear a relationship to, in a special sense. Our God whom we serve. Day by day, we see that, and we believe with regard to these men, who were of the same stamp as Daniel, praying 3 times a day, unashamed, even in a foreign land, bearing witness, and having that clear vision of God in their souls. Oh, how needful. How needful this is, friends, if we are to be kept in the day of temptation, that we would have right views of God, clear views, and clear understanding with regard to our own responsibilities. So that when trials come, we may say, like these men, we don't need to deliberate about this thing. It's all settled. The Lord has said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, or worship them. It's all settled. We have clear understanding of these things. Clear understanding of what God requires. Clear understanding of the service that we are to render. You see, we ought to pray and ask the Lord for such like precious faith. But thirdly, we see the courage of their faith also. It was not just a clear faith they had, it was a courageous faith. Verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not serve thy gods, whatever form they take. We will not bow down to the golden image that is set so clearly and plainly before us. We will not obey thy will, O king. Even although our God, who is fully able, we believe, to deliver us out of the flames, to deliver us out of thy hand, still we will continue in faithfulness to him. Friends, this is courageous faith indeed. You see, what courage would there be if they had already known? God would not suffer the flames to have any effect upon them. Now, what courage is there? They would have gone boldly into it. Perhaps they had that hope that he certainly could do that. You see, here's the real courage of faith. We don't know. When trials come, we don't know how the Lord is going to bring us out of this situation. When we cannot see that we can possibly escape without some painfulness, some difficulty, some anguish, to some degree or other. Here is the real courage of faith. It is such a commendation to its reality. Real courage of faith. That's what we need, friends, as we travel through this world, as we have at times to deal with people who are unpredictable, who are indeed very difficult to deal with. Situations when others all around us are falling in with this temptation and that, when we feel the loneliness of it, when what is the alternative is most unpalatable to flesh and blood, then we need clear views of God, and we need courage in our hearts, courage in our spirit, courage that is the courage of faith in God. See, this is not just human courage. Boldness of some zealous sort was a courage that was deeply bound up with their faith in God. Courage of faith. Be it known unto thee, O King. Just think of the person they're dealing with. Tremendous faith. Just think of the trial that is before them. Burning fire furnace. Could there be anything more unpalatable to flesh and blood for us? Be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, great time. Others falling down just like that. What courage. The courage of faith. Oh, how wonderful that is when it is found in the soul. The faithfulness of God's servants, as Matthew Henry has put it, the faithfulness of God's servants to him has often been the wonder of their enemies and persecutors. We believe that's true, not just then, but now. The Lord's people in Mans, where there's persecution and trial, fiery trials, showing forth that faithfulness, given grace and strength by the Holy Spirit to exercise faith in God, to be courageous in that faith. Well, friends, that is what we should pray for. Yes, we should pray for clearness in our faith, and we should pray for courage in our souls. We be the Lord's people. This is what we should ask for, bearing in mind that trials may endure us. Well then, what a commendation this is to the grace of faith. God-honoring grace. A grace that is such a tremendous witness to the ungodly world. And a grace that we should all desire. And we see it so exemplified here in the case of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who were so firm, so clear, so courageous in their faith. How we should ask the Lord to give us like precious faith. How we should ask the Lord to strengthen our faith, to maintain our faith, to uphold our faith. And dear friends, if we have not faith, oh how we should ask the Lord to give us it. Because, as we know from the Word of God, without faith it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith in a situation like this, where would they have been? Friend, without faith in the situation that you're passing through now, where will you be?
Ask the Lord to strengthen your faith. Ask the Lord to encourage you in your faith. Ask the Lord to keep you in your faith and to bring you through the trial. And see, yes, we wonder and we think, and it's wonderful to do so, what a marvelous deliverance it was that they got later on. And in the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. God had sent his angel to deliver the servants out of the furnace. There was not so much as a singe upon them. Read it there in verse 27. And the princes, governors, and captains of the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, though the smell of the fire had passed on them. Oh, we tend to say, that was the deliverance. Oh no, the deliverance came before that. The deliverance came when they were delivered from the fear of man. The deliverance came when they were delivered from and enabled to exercise faith in this clear and courageous fashion. When they could say, our God will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, even if he shouldn't do, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That was the real deliverance. That was the real point of trial and temptation and triumph in their souls, when by the grace of God, they were enabled to exercise a clear and courageous faith in the Most High God. Ah, friends, how we should pray and plead with the Lord to give us like precious faith in this our day. Well, let us now pray. May God bless his word to us. Gracious and almighty one, how we ought to thank thee for the strength of faith that thou didst give to thy servants, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the day in which they lived and in the trying situation that they faced. Help us to believe that whilst they, we believe, have gone to their reward long ago, yet thou dost remain unchanged and unchanging. And when thy people have to pass through fiery trials, then they may resort to the same God, and with the same clearness of faith and courage of faith in thyself. And grant that we would do so then. Be with thy dear people who may be tried at times very sorely, and grant that they may be upheld and enabled to know what is right, and to discern what is right and what is wrong, be clear and steadfast in their faithfulness to thyself. Forgive us, O God, when we have come short, when, although no fiery furnace has been set before us, yet we have fallen into sin. Oh, how sad we should be, how we should cry to thee for forgiveness and deliverance, and ask thee, as we bemoan our sad falls, to give us strength in the future, that the men of this world may at times be very forceful, would not have power over us to tempt us to do ill. Give us strength, O God, in this world to be faithful to thee, and that we would be those who are accepted at last with these words, come ye blessed of my Father into the kingdom prepared for me from before the foundation of the world. That we would not be those who hear these words, depart from me ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, grant that we would be bound up with Christ by a living faith, and so be right and with thyself and in a right relationship with God. Pardon us then, do us good, bless the remainder of this day to our spiritual benefit. For Jesus' sake, amen. We may conclude with praise to God in Psalm 115. Verse 4, their idols, silver, iron, and gold, work of men's hands they be. Mouths have they, but they do not speak, and eyes, but do not see. Ears have they, but they do not hear, noses, but savour not. Hands, feet, but handle not, nor walk, nor speak they through their throat. Like them their makers be, are, and all, and them their trust that build. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O Aaron's house, trust in the Lord. Their help and shield is he. Ye that fear God, trust in the Lord. Their help and shield he'll be. Psalm 115, verse 4, to the end of verse 11, to the praise of God. Their idols, silver are, and gold.
Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.